You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And I am one part of Are You Aware? Fleur.
My name's Christian, and you know what? We're putting things together tonight here, back in the studio together. I don't know.
It's been a month. We keep doing these months.
We're on summer vacation and hiatus, whatever you'd like to call it. But every time we set foot in here together, it's just a magical thing. So let's talk about Are You Aware, though, and tell our new listeners that are tuning in, tell them the method to our madness.
Absolutely. So Are You Aware? We've been on the air nearly 7 years coming up this December.
We're dinosaurs in this CITR business.
So Are You Aware? Music that has something to say profiles music and musicians that take the route of positive action over apathy. And what that means is we either profile a song that has a positive social justice message or a positive message, or we just choose a song that we really like the groove to and find out what the artist has been doing philanthropically and talk about it, highlight it on the air as a way to inspire the listener to be involved through music and advocacy.
And we have some special stuff going on tonight's program.
We actually have
a special guest coming in.
We do. At 6:30, we have Brenda Gershkovich from Big Sisters, the executive director of Big Sisters, who's coming on the show to talk about the great work that Big Sisters does, about Big Yoga for Big Sisters, which is their new fundraising event happening on September 10th, and just talking about how important mentorship is.
Well, it's extremely important, but I'm looking forward to the Big Yoga for Big Sisters. I've been recently doing some traveling and feeling a little locked up. You know, I feel like I could do some stretching, so I can't wait to find out a little bit about Big Yoga for Big Sisters.
Absolutely.
From Brenda.
Absolutely. And you know what we always do with our interviewees? Anytime anyone comes on the air, we make them do homework. We're pretty evil like that. But it's fun homework. We ask our interviewees to choose three songs that inspire them to be involved in positive social justice or, you know, do good for the world. So Brenda has chosen her mixtape, and we'll be playing those songs as well.
Can't wait to unveil that.
Yeah,
she's got
absolutely
some goodies in the mix, so
she
it's going to be great. And we started the show off with a local Vancouver band.
Apologies for the technical difficulties.
Yeah, we had some issues, but you know, no one even noticed. I don't even know why we mentioned it.
I know, but you know what?
We're smooth.
That's the thing about us. We're perfectly unpolished. So
yeah,
if at least one technical difficulty a show, it wouldn't be our show.
Hashtag perfectly unpolished.
Hashtag.
It's ours. We own that one.
We do.
So we started the show off with Brastronaut with their track Rave Shadow. It's a single that they recently released. Brastronaut formed in 2007 right here in Vancouver, British Columbia. Their second studio album was released in 2012. It was called Mean Sun. And as I just mentioned, Rave Shadow was recently released this past July, and it was accompanied by a video as well online.
I'm really liking that song. It's been a while since they've put anything out, and I'm glad that it took a while, because that was worth the wait for sure. They, in 2009, Brastronaut, Twin Castles, and the rapper Shad joined the Expendable Youth DJs at the Rock and Roll is Good for Kids benefit concert at the Astoria to raise money for Camp Grace. Camp Grace actually started in 1999 at the Grandview Calvary Baptist Church in the community of East Vancouver. In the fall, they actually decide to end Camp Grace because they thought that the community was no longer under-resourced, which is fantastic.
How awesome is that?
That's where you want things to be. You want to be able to, not that I want us out of a job anytime soon, but we part of nonprofits and part of working with these organizations is to make sure that you reach a point where you aren't needed anymore.
That's right. And several of the key schools for Urban Promise are now running their own after school programs, and there are many more affordable options for children and youth in that neighborhood. So it was time to move on for Camp Grace. And like you said, that's the direction we want to go in.
Absolutely. So who do we have next? We've got something on that's we tried to put on before.
We did. So we're gonna get this going on the right track this time. So another Vancouver band. This is Lady Hawk and their track called No Can Do from the album of the same name. They formed in Vancouver in 2004, and their debut album, Lady Hawk, was released in 2006 on Jag Jaguar Records. And No Can Do was their fourth release, which was released in 2012. And unfortunately, haven't had anything from them since. That's why we're going to play this track to give you your dose of Lady Hawk. So without further ado, here's Lady Hawk with No Can Do. You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR.
We'll be right back. Kingston, Jamaica. Parish region. 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 Kingston, Jamaica.
With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing with the Negroes in the spiritual world. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty!
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. Welcome back to the program. That was, we're all Vancouver all the time so far tonight.
Representing.
Yeah. So that was Five Alarm Funk, a Vancouver-based nine-piece band. They've been doing it for over a decade long.
Do you remember when we went and saw them on Canada Day?
Kind of.
Yeah. They, if you've never seen Five Alarm Funk, go and see them. You will be sweating your way through all your clothes, but you will have a fantastic time. High energy is an understatement when it comes to those guys.
Definitely. And lots happening up on stage there. Lots to kind of watch with nine musicians. Just amazing. Multiple percussionists, which I absolutely love.
Horns, which, you know, I'm all about the horns.
You name it, they got it.
That's right. And yeah. And they look like they're having a great time. Every time I see them, they're just having so much fun, which is really nice to see, because sometimes bands look like they hate each other when they're on stage.
So that's
we'd prefer
right.
the first part, not the second part.
Yeah.
So that was from their fifth studio album called Abandon Earth, which is a concept record album about the destruction of Earth by a giant tyrannical robot. Which, you know, you never know. It could happen.
Yeah, maybe. Sounds scary regardless.
And that song was called We All Scream. They actually were involved in February this year with the 50th anniversary of the Variety Show of Hearts Telethon, which is crazy that it's been going for 50 years.
Yeah, that is, isn't it?
It's pretty cool. There was two concerts that took place on February 13th and 14th, and the Five Alarm Funk played on the February 13th show, and it was by donation to raise funds for Variety, which is very cool.
Excellent cause. And speaking of
cause, hang on, what about this last song?
That was just the perfect segue. All right, we'll talk about Williams Traffic. So in the middle of that three-pack, we played Williams Traffic with Free at Last, and I'd actually never heard that song before. That was one of Fleur's choices, and, you know, it felt good.
Thanks.
Yeah. So Williams Traffic, French artist, and Williams Traffic and The Fugitive was released in 2001.
Yeah, there wasn't that much on them, unfortunately. I was hoping to find some more, but, you know, go and check them out online, and they have some pretty smooth grooves.
We're helping spread the word.
We are, Williams always. Traffic.
We're always spreading words.
Talking about spreading the word.
Oh, that segue not quite as good as mine, but
I'll
give it to
you. I know, I was trying
to
redeem myself.
So we have a special guest in the studio. We want to welcome Brenda Gershkovich, the ED of Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland. She's here to share some knowledge about mentoring and obviously about Big Sisters, and also to let us in on the big secret, which is Big Yoga for Big Sisters. So welcome to CITR, and Are You Aware, Brenda? Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks very much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So for the listeners who aren't aware of Big Sisters, can you tell us a little about its history and what it does?
Sure, yeah. Big Sisters is a mentoring organization. It actually started in Toronto in 1912, so it's been around for a long time. And I think that's because it works. Mentoring is a pretty simple concept, pairing a young person with someone who's a safe, reliable adult. And, you know, it's a simple concept, but the beauty is in the simplicity, in that it really works. we find through research that children who've been mentored have amazing outcomes, like less dropping out of school, less experiences of bullying or being bullied, higher self-regard, all kinds of great outcomes. So, yeah, it's a really important thing.
Wow, amazing. I did not know that Big Sisters had been around that long.
Yeah.
So how long has the organization been active in British Columbia?
Also a long time, about 56 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's obviously a very important mission that that Big Sisters has to be around for that long. That's some staying power.
It's some staying power. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Big Brothers is active in the city as well. So we're both part of the umbrella organization. It's across Canada. It's international. When I was at the conference this year, I met somebody from Big Brothers, Big Sisters in Israel who was working with kids in the desert. And it's all over the world. Really cool things happening.
Wow, that's amazing. Can you tell us some stuff about the program that Big Sisters offers?
Yeah, for sure. So here in Vancouver, we have three programs. Kind of the primary one that everybody knows us for is our one-to-one mentorship. It's just called Big Sisters. In terms of volunteering, we ask volunteers to be involved for a year, and it's usually 2 to 3 hours a week, and you're paired with a little sister who's between the ages of 7 and 17. We try to pair people based on their interests and their personalities. You know, if someone's really shy, we won't give them maybe the most outgoing person as their partner. So we're really careful about our matches. The strength of our the success of the matches is really about how careful our caseworkers are. And the model is that we have caseworkers, mostly social workers and childcare workers, people with psychology backgrounds sometimes, who oversee the matches and make sure that they're getting the support that they need, both for the little sister and for the volunteer, because a lot of times these volunteers will be faced with challenges they might not have seen in their lives themselves, things like anxiety or eating disorders, or maybe even rarely, but child abuse. So we do a really great job of making sure our volunteers are well-trained and have great resources in our caseworkers. And the model is a caseworker oversees 55 matches, so 55 kids, 55 volunteers, 55 families. So it's kind of a cool model because it sort of spirals out. We can do a lot more work than if we were doing direct hands-on service. So that's Big Sisters. We also have an academic-based program that's called Study Buddies. It's a similar kind of model. It's a one-to-one program, but it's focused on academics, and that one's a year commitment, a 6-month commitment, a little bit less commitment than the Big Sisters, which is for a year. And those are interesting relationships because they start off kind of being focused on studying, but kids end up talking about other stuff going on in their lives, so they kind of transform a little bit into big relationships. And lots of staying power in these matches. More than 55% of our matches last 2 years or longer. So,
wow.
Yeah, big impact.
How many young women are served in the Lower Mainland? Like,
yeah,
just
so
to get an idea of the impact that you're making here.
Yeah, for
BC.
Sure. It's a big impact. For example, in 2015, we served 819 girls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 819 lives changed. That's what I would equate that to.
Yeah, I think that's valid. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And you also have the Go Girls program, too.
Yeah, I went on too long about the first two programs.
Sorry. I am known for that.
No, that's all right. We have a group program as well. It's called Go Girls. And Go Girls is the only program we do that's not just one-to-one mentoring, and it happens after school. And it's a neat program because unlike the other programs, this is one where folks within the school identify kids that would gain from it. They're not self-identified. They're identified through either their teachers or counselors or somebody within the school who recognizes that this kid is facing some challenges and really could benefit from that group setting. And a lot of times it's about isolation. And these are kids that are between the ages of 10 and 14. And the ratio there is we have one volunteer for 5 kids, and they do a lot of group work together over a 10-week program. And really one of the major outcomes from that one is just breaking down that terrible isolation that people can feel in school and building really strong relationships. Also focus on healthy eating and healthy lifestyles and positive self-regard.
So you serve girls aged 7 to 17. What are the, you know, I know there's no typical little sister, but what sort of trends are you seeing with the little sisters that are coming through right now?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting how many kids are dealing with anxiety, a lot of social anxiety right now. And it's actually something that made me think about the second song I chose. We'll probably come back to that, but I find it, I don't know why that is, you know. So I'm coming up to 50, and I spent lots of my life as a social worker. So I've been in this realm for a long time. And I, from my experience, when I was working directly with kids sort of in the 80s and 90s, I didn't see this kind of social anxiety that I'm seeing now. So I'm really curious about what that is and sad that it's happening. And And we're, you know, doing a good job of getting some resources out there. And that's a major thing that kids are facing right now.
And as a volunteer, sorry, I'm going to interrupt. As a volunteer, what do you sort of see happen with that progression from when the little sister and the big sister sort of start? And as any relationship, it always starts a little awkward and then moves on. So, you know, what feedback do you get from the volunteers about being involved?
That's always so interesting. There's a couple unexpected outcomes that I wish we'd talk about them more as kind of being primary outcomes, because they're so interesting. The first one is that volunteers, they do this for the kid. They do this because they're being altruistic. And then they come back and say, oh my God, this was so good for me. There was so many things that I learned from this child or learned from this family or learned about myself through this experience or through the training or, you know, so they come out with this really sort of positive change in their life that they didn't expect. So that's a really neat secondary outcome. And the other one that I think is really cool that I've observed since I've been there, which is we don't make matches based on the ethnic, language, or cultural background of the kids and the big sister. So we see a lot of cross-cultural matching. Even when parents say, you know, I don't want someone from da-da-da background, for us that's a deal-breaker. You don't get to make that call. It's about matching the kids and the volunteers based on their characters and personalities and interests.
So it's sort of looking beyond. It's like looking at the personality instead of the labels around them.
Right, but the thing that happens is this great cross-cultural exchange occurs where families are changed and moved by the experience of knowing someone from a different culture that they might not have allowed into their lives otherwise, and vice versa. So there's this really wonderful sort of multicultural side effect that is quietly going on in our city that we're not talking about that I think is very cool.
Yeah, that's really, really cool to hear about. So for people that want to get involved with Big Sisters, like volunteering or myself, you know, I am actually interested in maybe getting involved with Big Brothers.
Awesome.
How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so just hit the internet. You know, there's lots of opportunities to get involved. You can get involved directly in programming, but there's also events you can be involved in, committees, governance, all kinds of ways to get involved. So for Big Sisters, it's bigsisters.bc.ca, and Big Brothers, just type in Big Brothers in Google, you'll find them. If you're sent to the national website, no worries, it'll all be trickled down to us, so pretty easy to find.
That sounds extremely easy.
Extremely easy.
And with the volunteering, sometimes I've heard people say, oh, you know, I've been thinking about becoming a big sister for a while, but I'm just waiting for the right time. And what would you say to them? Because as I understand it, it takes a little bit longer to, you know, it's not you apply and then the next week you've got a little sister.
Yeah,
it's not like
exactly.
Add water and it's all done.
No, it's actually, you know, it's some people complain that our volunteer screening is a bit intense and it takes a bit of time, but you know, that's by design. We want folks who aren't super committed to fall by the wayside, because we want people to show up for the meetings with the littles, so we kind of do that by design. Also, it takes some time because you know, there's a lot of training that goes into getting a volunteer ready to work with little sister. I mean, you have to imagine we're trusting somebody's child to an unknown stranger, right? We do a lot of work to make sure that that's safe and that both of those parties are ready for that. So, you know, sometimes if you volunteer, it could be 3 to 6 months until you're actually placed with somebody.
Well, there is definitely some risk involved there. So obviously you have to take those necessary steps to make sure safety is number one issue.
Number one.
Yeah, definitely. Well, why don't we get to the first track?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. We're so polite here. So as always on Are You Aware interviews, we ask the interviewee to choose three songs. You had to do some homework before you came on here, and that inspires them to be involved in positive change. So first of all, was it difficult to choose three songs?
It was difficult to choose three songs that I felt could sort of interweave with what I wanted to talk about today. Mm-hmm. So there were a lot more songs that I could have chosen, but yeah, I'm happy with these three.
So can you tell us about your first song choice, which is a classic?
Sure, it is a classic. Yeah, Suzanne Vega, Luca. I first heard the song when I was a student at McGill and saw her live in concert and loved her. And it just really moved me because, you know, I've always been inclined to working with kids. I've just, for whatever reason, was born with the I love kid DNA. You know, super babysitter, always involved with all my cousins, taking care of everybody, really clear social work was a good choice, all that stuff. So for me, right away, just hearing this song and hearing somebody speak with such honesty about, you know, the travesty of child abuse and what it feels like to be a child in this circumstance, I think the song's incredibly poignant and really nails that experience. And also, you know, gives a bit of guidance on on how to be there for someone who's going through this. And I just think it's a brilliant song.
Perfect choice. So here is Suzanne Vega with Luca. You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. Keep it locked. You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR. Welcome back to the program. And if you just tuned in, we have Brenda Gershkovich, ED of Big Sisters of BC in the Lower Mainland, with us in the studio. And we've had a great conversation so far about what Big Sisters does and how important their work is. And also, I've learned a little bit about mentorship, which I needed an education about mentorship. So thank you, Brenda. Just to dig right back into the conversation, why is mentoring so important for young girls right now?
Yeah. So, you know, there's so much that girls are faced with. It's just incredible. I'm a mom. I have two boys and a daughter. And certainly boys are facing all kinds of stuff, too. But I was just so struck by the challenges girls face. You know, there's so much pressure on beauty and looks and being thin And, you know, I think mentorship, the most important outcome in mentorship is a positive self-regard. And that's a place where we measure, and we know that we're actually able to move the needle on that. And that's huge, because it leads to so many other things. You know, if a person has self-esteem, they're able to achieve so much more than if they don't. And really, I mean, this might sound like an overstatement, but I think societally, we are absolutely stealing girls' self-esteem. We are. And so to have someone, first of all, I mean, just imagine being a kid and knowing that this person, this volunteer who, you know, came from nowhere to you, has chosen to voluntarily spend their time with you. That's a really powerful statement in and of itself. It makes you worth something. That itself, you know. And then, you know, the work that they do with you, talking to you about the cool things that you're into and how great of a kid you are, and spending time enhancing those things that you're interested in and thinking about the future. I mean, these are really powerful things, as opposed to the things that girls are facing. You know, they're twice as likely to be bullied online, for example. We know that girls, 60% of girls in grade 6 are on a diet. You know, I read a statistic that just made me sit at my desk and cry 2 weeks ago, which was girls are more afraid of gaining weight than losing a parent to death.
And nuclear war.
War. Well, nuclear war I kind of got, because it's not their generation, but losing a parent, like, yeah. That used to be the number one thing that children were afraid of. Now, it's gaining weight.
I cannot believe that.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
So, you know, mentorship can really address some of that. And it's just a super straightforward but powerful tool.
And kids can be pretty awful, right?
Like, oh, big time.
I mean, they can be really awful. And to have somebody turn around and say, it gets better,
yeah,
and be able to say yes as well. Yes, I want to hang out with you. Yes,
yeah,
I want to do these things. Even just that, just hearing those yeses and it gets better, this is temporary,
yeah,
can really help someone.
Totally. We know a story about a girl who was involved with our organization who really just hadn't had friendships in her schooling. She'd moved quite a bit. She had a slight learning disability. Making friends was challenging for her. And when she got her mentor and was asked about, you know, what's different for you? What's this experience been like for you? She said, you know what? Sometimes the phone rings for me. It's just great.
And yeah. I mean, we take that for granted. I don't know about you, but I get to about 9 o'clock at night. If the phone rings, I screen my calls. I'm like, nope, I'm done talking to people.
Yeah.
And you take for granted that, hey, let's go out for a drink or let's go to the movies. Not that you're going to get a little sister to go out and have a drink with you, but you know what I mean? That's social.
Fleur just failed the volunteer interview on radio. It was a lemonade.
Yeah, it was a lemonade. Exactly. But that social interaction that as adults we have established and we take for granted, whereas for
totally.
A little sister, it's, you know, someone wanting to go to the movies with you is a huge thing, especially
absolutely.
When you don't have that.
Yeah.
So we read about, I saw something about the mentoring effect. Can you describe what that is?
Yeah. So a little while ago, Big Brothers Big Sisters Canada decided to hire the Boston Consulting Group to really look deeply at what the impacts for mentoring are. I mean, we know them, we see them anecdotally all the time, but we wanted to actually measure them and to be able to really talk about what that is. So what they did was a pretty big longitudinal study here. They took a large group of kids who had experienced mentoring as a child and compared it with a similar socioeconomic background group of children who had not. And there were pretty distinct differences in outcome. And one of them had to do with staying in school, so that was a big one. As I mentioned earlier, self-esteem, just a huge one. You know, much very measurable differences in regards to self-esteem. We also know that they experienced less bullying and were bullied less. And we know that because of, so I'm extrapolating here, but I think it's because of the increase of self-esteem, these kids actually earn more money in their careers going forward, and a significant amount more. I think the number was around $350,000 over the lifetime. And while, you know, money isn't everything, it's important to know that, you know, that can represent somebody feeling great about being able to pursue their goals and their careers and having a different outcome in their life than they might have had without mentorship. So pretty serious outcomes and a very comprehensive study, and we can say really confidently that there's a big change. Another outcome was for kids that were mentored, they're more likely to give back to their communities, to be involved in philanthropy and as a volunteer. So sort of measuring all of those things together, the ratio that this study discovered was for every dollar spent in investing in mentorship, it contributes $18 back to the community over time.
Wow. So an economic impact, in fact, for mentoring, which is really interesting to hear.
It is,
Well, that makes sense to me. Now, you have a new event coming up.
We do.
I would love to hear a little bit about this. So could you tell us a little bit about Big Yoga for Big Sisters?
Yeah, super excited about this event. So we wanted to do something. We have a number of really neat events that we do at the organization that are geared towards people who can afford to come out and be philanthropic at a fairly high level. For example, coming to our soiree, well, tickets are $250, so not everyone can afford to do that. So we wanted to do something that really was open to folks who volunteer with us who maybe are students or, you know, that might not have the $250 to spend on an expensive event. And we also wanted to do something that really just felt very community-based, very grassroots, and that the kids could come out and get involved in as well. So in thinking about it, we came up with the idea of doing a yoga relay. So back in the day, I used to work with the Cancer Society. We did Relay for Life. It was a 12-hour run, and you'd get, you know, 12 people on a team and do an hour each. This is a similar idea, but we do yoga. And yoga is a really strong match for a lot of the work we do with our littles, because anxiety is such a present issue, and we know that learning to calm your mind and to meditate and to use mindfulness are really, really powerful tools when dealing with anxiety. And so it made sense to us that we would use yoga as a fundraising tool, but also as a gift to the kids and as something that really fits with our organization. So the style is it's a 10-hour day, and you can have up to 10 people on your team, so maybe just an hour each of yoga. And it's at Jonathan Rogers Park in Mount Pleasant, and September 10th. We're looking for teams to join the event, so if you type in Big Yoga for Big Sisters, there's an opportunity to sign up. Really simple fundraising model, peer-to-peer fundraising. You can just, you know, hit up 5 friends for $20 each and you're done. $100 per person is the fundraising goal. You don't have to achieve it, but that's the objective. And just a really fun day. We're going to have lots of food going on, giant salad bar. There's going to be music. There's going to be kids' activities. It's going to be a fun day.
Wow, sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah, and we'll post a... people can go to Big Sisters and find it on the website there too, right?
Yeah, it's on the Big Sisters website as well, yeah.
So how... are there volunteer opportunities as well?
Yeah, there are, actually. We're looking for volunteers, especially any volunteers who have food-safe handling. We're looking for a couple of those folks. So if you're someone who has that designation, maybe in your serving background, it would be awesome to get you to come and help and serve the salad bar. The city says people can't serve their own salad. We need it served.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I know. Rules.
And do you have to be a yogi to be involved?
You don't. No. We've got quite a few big beginners who are going to be coming out that day. And also, we say all levels of yoga ability, and we're designing it so that anybody can participate. There's going to be lots of folks out there who haven't done it before, including some of the kids. And we've got a schedule of the different types of yoga that are being offered. So there is a power class if you really wanted to come out and get your workout done. But there's a lot of flow and hatha, and it's going to be a pretty chill day.
And what time does it start?
Starts at 9 and runs till 7.
Perfect.
September 10th.
September 10th. Will you be there?
I'm potentially.
where did this idea come from? Because I haven't heard of an event like this before. So
yeah,
where did this originate?
Came out of my head. So no, I don't know why. I love yoga. I used to do a lot of relays. I used to be a runner. And so just kind of thought, hey, this would be a cool thing just to have a team and tap people off. Now your turn to cover the mat. So 10 hours, got to keep the mat covered, and it should be good fun.
Stretch for Big Sisters.
Yeah, I could use a stretch. I was talking about that earlier. So.
Come on out.
Yeah, I might need to tap in and do some mat time for
there
a little bit.
There you go. So can you tell us about your second song choice?
Yeah, so we were talking earlier about how I've noticed, a lot, everyone's noticed, I think, that there's just a real rise in anxiety. And when I think about that, I often think about the role of the media. And it seems like there's just so much information about all the negative things in the world. We're all really worried about climate change. We're all really worried about a world with Trump as a leader. We're all really worried about, you know, all these things that are happening. Ice melt and... You know, and I recently was down in Granville Island, and I saw, I'm going to give a shout out to a theater troupe down there who put on American Idiot, which is wonderful play that's playing right now, and it's a sort of a Green Day anthem. And it made me really think about that song, American Idiot, which is looking at the role of media and how media impacts young people. And I think that's part of the story of what's going on and what kids are dealing with.
Well, and kids, you know, going back to what you said in the 80s and the 90s, you didn't see the anxiety level that you do now. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even as an adult, the amount of screen time that everybody has now and the influence around cyberbullying and the internet and how you can basically be mean and not really have to see the consequences of how horrible you've been to someone.
For sure, that anonymity, that's a real problem, you know. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's play the next song.
Yeah, this is a great track. I love it. I know Fleur loves it. So this is Green Day with American Idiot. You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on 101.9 CITR.
You're listening to Are You Aware? Music that has something to say on CITR 101.9 in Vancouver. And we're having a delightful conversation with Brenda Gershkovich, the Executive Director of Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland, talking about the amazing work that Big Sisters does and the power of mentorship. Are you having fun?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. And she's playing some good tunes, too.
Playing great tunes. And we learned about Big Yoga for Big Sisters.
That's
happening
right.
September 10th.
That's right.
In Mount Pleasant.
Whereabouts again?
At Jonathan Rogers Park in Mount Pleasant. It's like Manitoba and 7th, I think.
Excellent.
Teams of 10 tapping in for some yoga.
Yeah, stretch for Big Sisters. So before we say goodbye, we wanted to find out a little bit more about the other events that Big Sisters does.
Yeah, for sure. So we've got a big soiree that's really important to us. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year. That happens on October 28th, and it's at the Hotel Vancouver. It's a very elegant event, and there are tickets available online for that. We're also looking for sponsors, of course, and volunteers. We do a couple of really fun events in the spring. One of them is called Grape Juice for all you wine lovers out there. That's a wine auction, and it's great. You're a wine lover? Oh, it's so good. It's
I
so
love
good.
Wine.
Yeah, it's really good. We have usually five tastings. I think the tickets are about $100, and there's an auction, and yeah, that's a really good event.
Canapes, too, right?
Canapes, yes, and they were done. Oh, they were so good. And that one is held at one of the auto dealers down on Burrard. This last time it was Audi, and before that it was, or sorry, this last time it was Aston Martin, and before that it was Audi. So it's always nice to get some car candy to look at as well. And we do a Golf for Good tournament out here at UBC. That happens in the spring. And we have a spring lunch. I'm getting fed from notes. Thank you, Fleur. We have a spring lunch that's held downtown that's really a focus on mentorship and what mentorship looks like in the corporate world. So looking at bringing a mentor with you or taking your mentor, and we see a lot of folks who are really using mentorship to further their careers come out to that event. So.
Wow. Yeah. That's a pretty good list of events that you have. Something for everyone, it seems.
Something for everyone. And then, of course, there's also just a chance to get involved through making donations online. And we have folks who, you know, maybe it's $10 a month that they contribute, but that's a great way if you are really interested in helping with Big Sisters but maybe can't make the commitment of volunteering. That's an awesome way to support us.
And what inspired yourself to get involved with Big Sisters? Is there a good backstory there?
You know, it was kind of a no-brainer for me. I was working in the video game sector. I had a video game company called Silicon Sisters, which built high-quality games for girls. And I was ready to leave tech, but I didn't know where I wanted to go. And when Big Sisters posted this position, within half an hour, five of my closest friends had sent me the posting, and it was just sort of one of those moments like, there it is. Yeah, that's the next thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it was meant for you. If five of your friends are suggesting you apply,
yeah
it must have been meant for you.
So, that certainly felt that way.
Yeah.
Well, we've really enjoyed having you on air and talking about all the great work that Big Sisters does, and you know, finding out more about what's happening with Big Yoga, and we're gonna promote it. We're on air on the 8th, right? Is that the next time we're on air?
Yes.
Just agree with me. Just nod and smile. So we will talk. We'll promote it for you guys then. I hope this helps to bring in some more teams. We have two more questions. So I'm going to ask you, tell us about your third song choice, and then we have one last question.
Well, my third song choice is Elvis Costello, who's just, I love him so much. I have funny stories about him, but we're probably out of time. And I wanted to leave on a positive note because I know, you know, I was talking about child abuse and how rough things are, but I also think there's just so much to be said for all of the wonderful people that are doing amazing work. And that's one of the beautiful things about my position is I get to be surrounded by passionate people who are changing the world. So I wanted to leave on that note because I think that's actually a really big part of being involved in the nonprofit world is all that good stuff.
You summed it up perfectly. I couldn't have explained that song better myself. Now, we always ask this one question. We do a couple of things when we ask people to come on the show. We ask them to do a mixtape, and then we always ask the same question to say goodbye. So our last question is, if you had one message to give the world, what would it be? Not to put you on the spot or anything.
What's so funny about truth, love, and understanding?
There we go. You plagiarized.
It's been said better, so there it is.
Thank you so much for coming on the air, and we really enjoyed learning more about mentorship and Big Sisters. And if you've been thinking about being a Big Sister or a study buddy or getting involved, don't sit on your butt any longer. Get on, get online, sign up, and it'll be one of the best things you've done in a long time.
Awesome. Thanks very much, you guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Insanity. I ask myself, Afraid to go home.